I shall no longer be tempted to yield to this terrible sin of anger. Saying this, he retired to the desert and built for himself a little cell where he spent many happy days by himself, without anyone going near him to tempt him to impatience. But one day, going to the stream to get water, the pitcher which he placed on the side of the stream after filling it was overturned 3 times successfully. Immediately his old temptation assailed him again, and flying into a passion, he lifted up the vessel and dashed it into pieces. When calm had again been restored, he said to himself, "The devil has deceived me in making me think that it could be that I could overcome this vice of anger by fleeing the society of men. No, the real remedy is to flight it till I have overcome it. Wherever I may go, I must meet with something which will be a temptation to me. So instead of fleeing from it like a coward, I must go forward resolutely and face the enemy, and with the assistance of God, overcome it." In the Gospel of today, Christ speaks of good and evil trees and says that the good tree brings forth good fruit, but the evil tree, evil fruit, and that the trees which bring forth no good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire. Such an evil fruit is the vice of anger. And there is no place to which we could go in order to be free from the temptation of anger. When we look at our own lives and the lives of men in general, we find some who do not set their hearts and affections upon the goods of the world, who do not appropriate to themselves the goods of others, who do not sin by pride, envy, or impurity. But how small is the number of those who keep down every emotion of anger and are always meek. Almost all, even those who on account of their piety appear very praiseworthy, are more or less given to anger. And scarcely does a week or a day pass that they do not offend God, either by inward or outward anger. And if we ask ourselves, can we say that we are really free from this vice of anger, or are we affected by this vice? In truth, Seneca is right when he says, "Anger is a fire which passes by no age, exempts none, and is predominant among civilized as well as savage nations." And yet, anger is a sin, and those guilty of it will one day be called to an account. For Christ says, "But I say to you, that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment." Now, what is this vice of anger? Anger is a disorderly emotion of the soul, which inclines us to rebel with violence whatever displeases us, and which leads us to seek revenge. But not all anger is a disorderly emotion. There is such a thing than unholy anger. Because we commit no sin with such an anger, but on the contrary, we perform an act of virtue when we become angry for a just reason. So it's not sin if we are angry about a grievous sin, or if we are angry about the new mass, the new religion of the Novus Ordo, or the heresies of Benedict XVI. But with moderation, as Jesus Christ did when he drove the money changers out of the temple. Anger excites men. Just look at man burning with anger. How does he appear? How does he act? It's true, we must say, the angry man is almost like a beast than a man. His countenance is distorted. He gnashes his teeth, raises his voice, stamps with his feet, and knocks things over. Anger is like a burning fever. It darkens the understanding so that the person does not know what he says or does. A heathen philosopher relates that when a boy he saw a man who wanted to open a door with a key but could not. He bit the key, kicked at the door with his feet, foamed with rage, and broke out into dreadful oath. At this spectacle, the philosopher conceived such a horror of anger that he never in his life gave way to it. We sin by anger first when we inflict punishment on one who has not deserved it, or inflict excessive punishment, or inflicted without lawful authority. Secondly, when inflicting a just punishment, we have in view only the gratification of a spiteful feeling. And thirdly, when we inflict punishment with excessive heat. Anger is the source of many sins, the principle of which are resentment, enmity of heart, insulting words, quarrels and dissension. A nobleman once broke out into the most offensive words against St. Francis de Sales. The saint looked at him quietly and answered him not a word. The angry man considered his moderation as a sign of contempt and redoubled his rage. But the saint again kept silence. At length the man departed. Another nobleman asked the saint how he managed to overcome himself so well. And the saint replied, "I and my tongue have made an inviolable covenant, and have decreed that whenever I am excited, my tongue must be quiet, and that I must not speak until the inward fever is cooled down." The anger to which most Christians are inclined is irritably arising from the many cares of modern life. Cares of the household, business details, of the stress and the hurry of life as it is lived today. It shows itself in impatient words and gestures, angry looks and heated words, and does not as a rule last long. Such anger is venial in its nature and should not prevent us from approaching the communion rail. Now, what are the remedies against the vice of anger? First, there's the contemplation of our meek Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The Holy Count Elisa, although overwhelmed with business, was never seen to be angry or impatient. When his wife asked him one day how this was possible, he said, "When I observe a motion of anger, I represent to myself the injury which my Redeemer suffered from me and others, and say to myself, if your dependents were to pull out your hair, kick and beat you, and inflict other injuries on you, it is right that you should endure all this, for it is nothing in comparison with what Jesus suffered for you. This is how I easily suppress my anger." And let us learn from the saints patience, and we will be able to keep our anger under control. The second remedy against anger is prayer, and since the principal means in all temptations, and therefore in temptations to anger. As often as an angry feeling arises in our hearts, we should have recourse to pray and say, "Lord, permit me not to offend thee by anger." The third remedy are daily renewed resolutions. Persons who are much inclined to anger and whose circumstances are such that they are exposed to the anger of giving way to anger must very often renew the resolution not to allow it to arise in them. Make a resolution in the morning to resist anger during the day, and not to say it and to do anything when you are so unfortunate as to fall into a passion. If you are tempted to anger, think of your resolution and say within yourself, "I have promised God today not to offend him by anger. By his grace, I will keep my promise." Let us overcome the temptations of anger in us. Let us, as soon as we perceive a motion of anger, fight at once against it, and let us make a rule never to say and to do anything in the heat of passion. Let us remove as far as possible all occasions of anger, and let daily renew in the morning and often during the day the resolution of not offending God in this way. Finally, let us learn from the Sacred Heart of our Divine Redeemer meekness and humility, since our Lord said himself, "Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.